Chapter 10 A Machine for Living In. After he had graduated from Ari Tech with suspiciously high marks, astro-specialist Robert Singh had no difficulty in securing a position as assistant engineer, propulsion, on one of the regular Earth-Moon shuttles, popularly known, for some now-forgotten reason, as Milk Runs. This suited him admirably because, to her surprise, Freda had now discovered that the moon was an interesting place after all. She decided to spend a few years there, specializing in the lunar equivalent of the gold rushes that had once taken place on Earth. But what prospectors had long sought on the moon was something much more valuable than that now commonplace metal. It was water, or, to be more accurate, ice. Although the eons of bombardment and occasional volcanism that had churned up the upper few hundred meters of the moon's surface had long ago removed all traces of water, liquid, solid, or gaseous, there was still a hope that deep underground, near the poles, where the temperature was always far below freezing, there might be layers of fossil ice left over from the days when the moon condensed out of the solar system's primordial debris. Most selenologists thought this was pure fantasy, but there had been enough tantalizing hints to keep the dream alive. Freda was lucky enough to be one of the team that discovered the first of the South Polar ice mines. Not only would this ultimately transform the economy of the moon, but it had an immediate and highly beneficial impact upon the Singh-Carroll economy. Between them, they now had enough credit to rent a fuller home and live anywhere on Earth they pleased. On Earth. They still expected to spend much of their lives elsewhere, but they were eager to have a son. If he was born on the moon, he would never have the strength to visit the world of his parents. A 1G pregnancy, on the other hand, would give him the freedom of the solar system. They also agreed that their home's first location should be the Arizona desert. Though it was now becoming rather crowded, there was still plenty of pristine geology for Freda to clamber over. And it was the nearest analog to Mars, which they were both determined to visit someday, before it spoiled, as Freda commented, only half-joking.